Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I don't wear a lot of jewelry. I've never have, and I'm just not that type of person. And yet, I have a whole drawer full of necklaces. Anybody want to take a guess as to what might be on the necklaces of a pastor? Crosses, yeah. I've got them by the dozens. And they're beautiful. They're handmade glass ones that somebody in my first call made, so I don't want to get rid of them, but I don't ever wear them. A cross. But have you ever thought about how weird it is to wear a cross on your neck or on your wrist or on your shirt? Because you see, the cross is an execution tool. It would be like wearing an electric chair around you or a hangman's noose. Or a firing squad, right? It's an execution tool. It was not pretty. It was awful, the way that Jesus died. Now, I don't know how many of you know like the graphicness of the crucifixion, but I want to share it with you tonight, because what better way is there to end a Thursday? Am I right? And we're going to talk about the cross in just a minute, I promise. So when the Romans would execute people on the cross, they didn't nail people in their palm, because if you try and hang your entire body weight on your palm, it's going to rip. So what they did was they would put the nails through here, where the bones would hold them up. And then they would they'd lay the beam down, and they would nail the guilty person's arms to the braces, and they would lift the brace up and then nail their feet to the upright portion. So what you have then is somebody like this. And if the guilty person would push up with their feet, they could breathe. But then, you know, you're putting pressure on your feet, which have nails and spikes through them, which hurts, so you would drop. And it's when they dropped that they couldn't breathe and started to suffocate. So people who were crucified in this way, who were killed in this way, would go back and forth between boosting themselves up and dropping. It was torture, is what it was. Until finally, if they executed somebody on a Friday, Friday starts the Jewish Sabbath, and if they thought that you might still be alive by the time the Sabbath started, what would they do? Anybody remember from the Gospels? Jesus didn't have it happen to him. But they would go through and they would break the legs of the criminals. Because if you have broken legs that are nailed to a cross, guess what you can't do? You can't push up and you die more quickly. It's an instrument of torture. And yet it is in the cross that we find our life. Now Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for those who are being saved, it is life. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, because it is in the cross that we find our abundant life. Now, I wish that there was a way that we could have like an empty tomb on our necklaces, because really that's the sign of everlasting life, right? That no matter what, death could not stop Jesus. And we have the empty tomb. But instead, Christians have revered the cross. Why is that? It is in the cross that we see God at God's most vulnerable. God gives his only son to die for a bunch of people who continue to make mistakes, who sin, who break his heart, who hurt each other. And God says, but I love you that much, that much. So when Jesus is crucified, he takes all of that onto himself so that we can have abundant life. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Today I picked Emily up for our date night dinner. We do that every other Thursday. And I said, hey, Peanut, that's what I call her, Peanut, grab your phone and look up dictionary.com. And she looked at me, she's like, okay, whatever. So she looked it up and I said, now type in perish. I want to see what the dictionary definition is. I said, because I think I know, but I haven't looked it up. And of course, it's physical death, right? That's what we expect. But it is also a spiritual death. So what Paul is saying when he says that the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, he's not talking necessarily about just a physical death. He's also talking about a spiritual death. And that's what makes the cross foolish to people. Because if we are not paying attention to our spirits, to our relationship with God, and to our relationship with each other, we start to wither spiritually. We grow in more and more looking at ourselves. We don't have abundant life. We might fill ourselves with things or activity. We may never have any downtime or Sabbath time. We may never nurture our inner self. And that might sound fun at first. I mean, when I get a new toy, I'm like, this is really fun. But it doesn't give us life. And part of the challenge at the church in Corinth was talking to people about who had not heard of Christ at all. Talking to people and saying, this execution tool, that's what's going to give you life. That's where you're going to find the entrance to this abundance. Because this is what's really, really important. What's important is not the amount of stuff we have or the amount of habits that we have or anything. The point of our life is to love God with our whole heart and mind and spirit, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's where our abundance is found. And we find that at the foot of the cross, where Jesus did that for us. When Jesus dies, he ends the power of anything to keep us away from the love of God. He ends the power of the religious authorities. The religious authorities, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they thought they won as soon as he breathed his last. They wanted that rabble-rouser to be put to death so that he wasn't disturbing them anymore. He wasn't rocking the boat. He wasn't trying to be a troublemaker. When he died, the Pharisees and the chief priests thought that they had won. When he died, Pilate thought that the government had won. This was a state-sanctioned execution. He thought that once that Jesus dies, everything is going to be calm again in Jerusalem, and life is going to be peachy keen once again. So Jesus has destroyed the power of religion, which sometimes takes us away from God. He's destroyed the power of the government, and he's destroyed the power of death to separate us in that cross. Paul goes on to say in the book of Romans that there is nothing in this world or the next that can separate us from the love of Jesus. It is that love that is so abundantly expressed in the cross. If it wasn't for the cross, we wouldn't have the empty tomb. And as Jesus calls us to follow him into this world, he calls us to take up our own crosses, our own places where we can hang all of our baggage, all of our sin, and leave it there to die. We don't have to carry it around with us. We don't have to hold on to it. We don't have to use it. But Jesus in the cross invites us to lay everything down at his feet so that we can have abundant life. It's not an easy call to follow Jesus at all. And in Matthew and Mark, too, we're told that the disciples leave immediately to follow Jesus. Wouldn't that be nice? Like, we sit down and we have coffee with somebody and talking to them about Jesus. Like, I'm going to immediately sign up to come to your church. But often that's not how it happens. People don't immediately do anything these days. Even I don't. Like, let me check Facebook. Then I'll get back to you. Whatever. They immediately follow him, not knowing exactly what it was going to hold, not knowing what the journey was going to take, but trusting that Jesus wasn't going to let them down. And 2,000 years later, we follow Jesus to the cross. We know how the story ends. We know that he's going to be put up there. But for those of us who are being saved, those of us who know Jesus know that the cross is the beginning of God's salvation. And that's a story that we get to share. And that's a pretty Lutheran story. We start at the cross. It's a theology of the cross. We start by saying, yeah, life is hard. It's hard to follow Jesus, but look. Look at the abundant life that you can have. So if you feel like you are perishing, if you feel like your spirit is a little dry, if you feel like your heart is the equivalent of January or February, know this. There is abundant life. There is hope. There is joy. There is love. And it is found in this torture tool where we can hang the things that we no longer need. We can lay them at the feet of Jesus and go on about our day. The cross is foolish. And I'm so thankful for that. You don't have to stop wearing your crosses. But maybe the next time you put it on, you can think like, this was an instrument of torture, but God turned it into something wonderful. I wonder what it is in my life that God will bring to life by wearing this. Let us pray. God, thank you so much for your Son who came to us, who showed us your face, and who died on the cross. We give you thanks for turning that not into an instrument of torture, but into something that we can fix our gaze on. And know that no matter how bad life gets, there is nothing that is going to separate us from you because Jesus was there. Bless our night, bless our week, and give us the courage to say the words that you will give us as we meet people in this journey. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.